You got your Bible this morning. I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, the miracle of being able to know God. The miracle of being able to know God. What is taking place here is the children of Israel are out of the will of God for their lives. For over 300 years since King David up to this time and place, they've been wandering from king to king to king. You know, they just would not accept God's choice for the man to lead them, and therefore they just kept going from one person to another, to another, to another, until finally after 300 years, they come down to what the scripture says. If you look back a couple of verses into chapter 16 with me, and there, the scripture says in verse 33 that Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord of God of Israel to anger than all the other kings of Israel that were before him. No telling. You can go back and scripture record all of those kings, but it's a great number of kings that had served and was no longer in that position. Some of them had gotten murdered. Some of them got all kind of things, but they were a wicked bunch of folks. Tell you a little bit about Ahab, how wicked he was. He was one of the ones that went in and made havoc of the showbread and the things of God in the Holy of Holies of King Solomon's temple. Did everything that they could to provoke God. And the scripture described him as being a man that did evil in the sight of the Lord above all the others that were before him. He did more to provoke God than all those before him. Think about that. And what are you dealing with in their hearts and their lives? So in chapter 17, after all this wickedness for 300 years, God's going to try to move them from where they are to where he wants them to be one more time. Uses a man by the name of Elijah, Tishmite, who the scripture says was the inhabitant of Gilead, and said unto Ahab, he went to him and said unto him, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The Lord sent Elijah, a Tishmite, just a common old plowboy. He didn't have any expertise in anything concerning religion whatsoever, but the Lord sent him on a mission to do something that was, to me, quite amazing. You think about him, Elijah, as he has a responsibility to do what the Lord tells him to do, to go up before a powerful king, a king who despised anything to do with Christianity, a king who'd done everything he could to destroy Christianity, a king, you name it, that was anti, he was anti when it come to God and the things of him. And here comes this poor little old, I see him as a plowboy. I don't know exactly what his occupation may have been, but God sent him on a mission. Told him to go do something and tell Ahab, yeah, you got a mighty force. You got a military second to none. You got this and you got that and you got all these other things and you put them all together, you're a powerful king. But there's one thing you can't do. You can't make it stop raining, and you can't make it start raining. There's things that only God can do. Now watch what happens here. Scripture says that he told Ahab that there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. If I don't say it, it ain't going to happen. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. You tell him what I said for you to tell him, and then run like a turkey. Get away. Because he knew Ahab was going to do what? He's going to get rid of him. Why? He wasn't peddling what he wanted to hear, was he? He had never thought about, yeah, I've got all this great stuff, and I've built this great big kingdom, and I've done everything I can to destroy the messengers of God. But he didn't realize to have that great army and to have all those folks and everything, they needed groceries. They needed water. And their brooks dry up, their rivers grow low, on and on and on the scenario goes. 3.5 years without rain. You know what that, we go 3.5 months without rain here, and we are in a serious drought. So after 3.5 years, what would you think with them? Likewise, wouldn't you? All right. He told him, he said, get thee hence, turn eastward, hide yourself by the brook Cherith, that is before me. Do you know that God has help where you and I least expect it? What we're not doing? Look what he did here. He said, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Who would have ever thought that a man of God could go in hiding down by a brook, Cherithim, off the side of Jordan down there, and the Lord would order ravens. Why ravens? They were considered an unclean bird to the Jew. They were not allowed to eat them, but God said he didn't say they was going to eat it. He said he's going to use them to do what? Feed him. Every morning they brought meat. Every evening they brought meat and took care of him. How would you have ever imagined in your mind that God would have used ravens to take care of them? The scripture says they brought bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it came to pass, what does that mean? It happened that after a while, the brook dried up. And it said, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him and said, Elijah, arise, get you down to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there, and behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. All in God's plan. The brook dries up. He tells him to leave Cherithim and go down to Zarephath. And there I have, that's a powerful word what we're fixing to say there. The scripture says, I have what? Commanded. What do you, when you receive a command, what is that? It's an order for you to do exactly what you are told to do. And he said, I have prepared or commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering up sticks. And he called to her and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. He asked very simply. He didn't just break out with his demand all at one time. He asked her for a drink of water. Now, none of us are mean enough in our spirits that we, somebody came to us and needed a glass of water, we wouldn't give it to them. I'd hope we wouldn't be that kind of person. But as she was going to get him the glass of water, he called to her and said to her, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." When you come back with that glass of water, bring me a little cake, a little biscuit, a little cornbread, whatever she was preparing. And he said, "Bring me this morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, listen to this, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but I have a handful of meal in a barrel. And I have a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm out here and I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and do what? Die." You talking about a lady that's scratching the bottom of the barrel. She's scratching the bottom of the barrel. Last little bit of flour. Last little bit of oil, and she's out gathering up sticks to bring in, to build a fire, to bake the last of the bread that they had. And her outlook for the future was what? Wasn't nothing left to do but die. Sad situation, isn't it? As you know, the miracle of being able to know who God is an awesome thing. Listen what happens here. Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Here she is. What does Scripture say God said he had waiting on him down in Zarephath? A widow. A little widow. What's she to do? "I have commanded her to do what? Care for you in the days that lie ahead." It wasn't just this one little cake. It was until the Lord changed directions that she was to take care of this man. And Scripture says he arose and he went to Zarephath. She was gathering up these sticks, and he asked her, let's see what she said. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of oil shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain on the earth." You ain't got nothing to worry about. Why? Because you got God on your side. What's God going to do? He's going to supply the meal and the oil to keep the barrel full and the cruse full. She went, and she did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. God took care of her, didn't she? Why? Because she's obedient. Now, she balked at first, and she said, "Well, all I got left is just enough for me and mine." But in the back of the head, her head, I can only imagine, she had to be thinking something. Is this the man that God commanded me to take care of when he come down here? He didn't identify himself. He didn't say, "I'm here on behalf of Lord God Almighty. He told me to come down here and I'd find you out there picking up them sticks and getting ready to make them last little bit." He didn't tell her all that. But she had already heard from who? From the Lord, hadn't she? Many times God speaks to us and he shares for us to do things in a certain way. And sometimes we do those things, Sometimes we don't in our lives. But we miss many a blessing by not doing what the Lord tells us to do. Now, something happens here that's important. How long do you think, 3.5 years, that before the rain comes? Think with me for a moment about that. Many days she washed and prepared his clothes. She cooked his meals, provided him a place to stay, did all the things he's supposed to do. And all around her, the whole country's in a severe drought. The whole country's doing without a lot of stuff because of that. All their things that's happening. Ahab, that old wicked king, even he probably getting hungry by now in his life. But this woman from Zarephath, as you think about her, tell me something for just a moment. What would you think? Boy, she's blessed. God picked her out of all the people he could have picked her out, and she ain't got nothing to worry. As long as she can cook them cakes and make them meals and cook, do the things she's doing. Wrong. Look at verse 17 with me. Even in the best of times, folks, we're going to be faced with troubles and trials and afflictions in our hearts and our lives. Verse 17 said, it came to pass. What does that mean? It happened that after these things, the son of the woman, and heard much out of him. I wondered, you know, when I first read this one time earlier, why wasn't he gathering the sticks? Why did he have his poor mama out there having to gather the sticks? It came to pass that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sins to remembrance and to slay my son? She's accusing Elijah of doing what? Causing her son's death. He said to her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, as thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I have sojourned by slaying her son. And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him. And again the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. He was dead, but he came back to life. Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. The woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. The word of the Lord that is in thy mouth is truth. What did it take for the woman to understand? That Elijah, God, was truly the one true God in our hearts and our lives. We don't know why God operates the way he does in different situations and stuff, but he's always got a plan. And the part of the plan that he has is to move us from where we are to where he wants us to be in our hearts and our lives. Now, I thought a lot. 3.5 years is a long time You know, even though the day's society is passing by very quickly, you know. But a lot happens in 3.5 years, doesn't it? And that little old lady, her son, they ain't had to do without a thing. They had water, they had the ingredients to cook themselves meals and stuff, while the whole rest of the country is what? Suffering, suffering. She could have sat up there and said, y'all bunch of dummies, you know. If you'd have just done, you know, that ain't what she did. She was faithful to do her job. Until what happened? Her son died. What'd she do then? She jumped on Elijah with hand and foot. He wasn't a hero no more, was he? He's a zero. Because she blamed him for taking her son's life. What'd he do about it? What could he do about it? Nothing without who? The Lord. So he took the child and he went back up them steps and went back into that bedroom and laid him on that bed. 3 different times. He didn't give up. He kept on and kept on and kept on until what happened? God heard his prayer. Healed the child. Don't you know that was a joyful occasion for Elijah to bring that son right back down there and lay it in that mother's lap? And what'd she say? Now I know of a certain that your God is the God of Israel. She come to the realization of who God really was. They're having the fire in the barrel, having the oil in the cruise. They didn't get it. She didn't fully believe. But when he raised her son from the dead, what'd she do? She believed. Would you pray with me? The moment as Brother Ernie prepares for the invitation, I wonder if we've come to a real realization of who God is, what he does and why he does the things that he does is trying to get you and I to the place he wants us to be. We doubt, we don't trust. All yesterday, everything was about teaching our youth how to share their witness. Lord, we taught, the crew that was here talked to them about the importance of other people being able to see Jesus through them. We as your church family here, do we truly know God? By allowing him to lead us and guide us in the direction he wants us to go. Lord, if there's one here this morning, it may be in their heart and their life. They've served you by being attentive and attending and giving and doing when asked, but they've never truly known you as their Lord and Savior. I pray this morning, God, that you'd speak to their heart. God, they'd listen, they'd hear, and they would do what you'd tell them to do. Not for Brother Larry, not for this church, but for you, God. They'd give you first place in their heart and life. These altars will be open. Maybe they're those here. They know they've truly trusted you as Lord and Savior of their lives. But they're weak in their faith. They just want to come and kneel and say, Lord, strengthen me. Give me the faith of this little woman to bake that last little cake. Give me the faith of this woman to be able to care for the needs of your prophet, Elijah. Lord, strengthen me. Help me to be all I need to be. You pray that little prayer. You know, God said he'd be faithful and just to care for all of your needs and forgive you of all your sins. Whatever God speaks to you about, Lord, help them to be obedient. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Ernie, what we're going to sing.
Jesus, I come. 3:10.